Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network. Welcome to Prosperity for God's People, brought to you by ChristianTraders.com, the Internet's fastest growing Christian investment community, created just for you, the Christian investor.
Everybody's happy.
Striving for excellence in Christian talk radio, excellence in the world financial markets, and most of all, excellence in your personal walk with God.
Broadcasting live
from the CFRN studios in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona.
Hello, everyone. This is Michael. I'm sure Dwayne is going to come on in a minute, but his phone may be off or his audio may be down for just a moment. Welcome to another day of CFRN. We will go over these zones that you see here. You're looking at a one-hour chart. Let's see, this is from yesterday to this morning. Number 6 was there yesterday. Dwayne had put that on yesterday afternoon. We had said, I don't know if any of you attended the webinar that we went to, or that we did yesterday, but we had suggested yesterday that the market might move up to those resistance dots and then drop off some. It did move up to the resistance dots, and it did drop off. We were expecting it to drop a lot farther, but overnight we had a gap up, and that puts the market where it is right now.
Good morning, Michael.
As far as weekly trading zones, morning, David. I'm David. Morning, Dwayne. Sorry, I was just reading
David. If you hadn't stumbled in the way you did, I would have never known that my mic was off. I had queued up rear pink in instead of front pink in, and I'm really got to go get a new headset today. that's my okay. Let's silence the rear pink. Yeah, and I said all kinds of cool stuff. I was just looking at the mountains, just telling everybody about how this is the podcast of indeterminate length, where we talk about all things e-mini, and it's also the broadcast that begs the question: are all radio talk show hosts that tall and that good looking? And of course, the answer to that brain teaser was Imus. Okay, enough hijinks. So what are you talking about? What's going on this radio show here?
I was just going over what we were talking about yesterday in the webinar, how when we had those resistance dots print up there, we said that we expect price to get up toward those resistance dots for possible short entry.
They did.
I know you had you had put one on there and then gone to bed.
I got
and it gave you a couple
right
of ticks.
There.
Yeah. And it gave you a couple of points profit.
It did.
And then it pulled back. It gapped up overnight. And that puts us where we are. I was just going to say what the weekly trading zones are. The ones up above us are 1324 and 1325.
Now, this chart that you were so kind to point out in my absence, my microphone absence, let me just review this one more time. Okay, this goes back to Sunday night, Monday, where we traded down through dynamic support, and that led to all of this action. But right here, we were able to participate at number one because we got dynamic resistance. The market dropped it, and I detailed all of this on the blog last night, so you can get the exact numbers if you want to go out and look at it. From 1 to 2, nice drop. We get dynamic support. Earliest possible entries here runs to dynamic resistance. Earliest possible entry is down here, not up here, down here. Runs to dynamic support, which leaves us where we were yesterday during the show. Price had done this. And then price had pulled back here to 1298. Okay? And if you take out the Globex session, which is this, and you go from this low to where we were yesterday during the show, you had a double bottom. With David, we talked about the fact that some people would see that as a reverse head and shoulders. And then what went on to happen was quite interesting. We came down and probed this dynamic support level nicely. And then if you were watching this, this is an hourly candle, but I mean it came down, it tested it, and then it moved back up pretty quickly. And then we came to here. But see, when this candle printed, we had no dynamic resistance. Dynamic resistance did not come in until here. And it was during the webinar yesterday afternoon, the markets had already closed, when that dot printed, this candle opened. And like Michael said, we discussed that attempting to get short off of this resistance area from here would not meet our risk-reward parameters, because you got a risk to the other side of the resistance. So we would rather let price trade up closer to the resistance area and then get short. Then we have a much smaller risk, because we're still going to risk just the other side of the dynamic resistance. And it played right into our hands. And I was able to get short right here last night on this candle. Now, if I'd have sat and monitored the trade, I could have got out with a couple points. But I just put it on, went to bed. With a 2-point stop, which got me stopped out, I guess, right about here, as I slept. I never felt a thing. It was painless. And that's the beauty of having a stop, okay? Whether you get distracted, need a nap, need a sandwich, got to walk the dog, I mean, or if you're just sitting in front of your platform, you should always have a stop in the market. Because once you enter the market, establish your target, establish your stop. You can always tighten up your stop. You can always push your target farther away if that fits your trading plan. But always have them in place. So I slept well and woke up this morning without any stress. I didn't have to be concerned that I would be down 20 points or any such nonsense. I knew I would have either been stopped out for 2 points. Oh, and I put my target down here at 1302. That low was just below 1302, so I had a target at 1302. So I knew that I would either have made roughly 6 points or been stopped out for 2 points. And that's what happened. And so here we are. What else is going on in the world? What are the numbers? I think I did the numbers when I didn't have my microphone on.
The numbers on the day?
Yeah, I got
news events.
No, let's see. The Dow is up 45. S&P is up 10. Comps up 32. Let me show you guys this on the Dow. Right here, 12,125, 12,130. This is the lowest weekly trading zone on the YM this week. We blew out the oil. We blew out the ES early in the week. We stayed inside on the gold. We've been in a pretty tight range up here at the top on gold. Now, we pulled up to this zone on Wednesday, and then Wednesday on the overnight. And we've been in this price channel on the way down all week. Okay? And then this morning, that dynamic changed. We broke out of that price channel. We came up here. We tagged that zone. It was good resistance here. Good resistance here. And so far today, good resistance here. And our cycle is, you know, pretending a drop. We'll see. This trend line here would have to break in order for the market to move lower. So we'll watch that and see how it develops. But for us, we didn't have a number over here on the ES. As Michael said, our next zone up is 24.25. So there was nothing really here for us. But I pointed it out this morning in the live training room that once we hit this area, this over here might come to a halt. And it did. But it may not be done. There's still plenty of time left in the trading day. So we'll see how it unfolds. If we were to get back above 25, that would satisfy something inside of my head to see that happen. But the reality of it happening, of us moving 10 points higher between now and the close, I won't rule it out. It would be the market's way of saying, see, this is what it's supposed to look like. All that other stuff, Libya, oil, Gaddafi, that's just stuff. So we'll see how it plays out. Is Bert with us, or is he manning the phones?
I'm back here.
Hello, Bert. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Bert.
Good.
So what's happening on your side of the desk?
Let's see. Where am I? Not much, really. On my side of the desk, crude oil is trying to make up its mind where it wants to go and what to do. Mover and shakers.
Is $100 a barrel the new normal for oil?
Yeah, it kind of feels that way. We rejected it. We had a couple attempts at it. After the sell-off yesterday at 103.5, there were several attempts yesterday to try to get it back above 100, but they rejected it. So it seems to me, at least for the moment or until something else blows up in the world, that they're going to try to cap it under 100 or use it as resistance. And then we'll just kind of trash around here and try to figure out what it wants to do. In the meantime, gold is down $8. We got down to 1,400 today. We're sitting at 1,407.5. Just seeing a little bit of that risk premium that was built into the crude market, taken out of the gold market a little bit. What else is going on? Oh, the grains is the highlight today. We got soybeans up 45 cents. Wheat up 40 cents and corn up 27 cents and some strong exports and some other things. So the grains seem to be the highlight of the day. And then, that's really about it. I mean, yeah, that's about it, really. Grains, I'd say, is the highlight of the day. And then, of course, crude's going to entertain us for the rest of the day. And that might indirectly influence what the S&P does this afternoon. In other words, if crude sells off going into the close, then chances are the S&P will catch a bid and will rally into the close. And I would earmark maybe 1323 as a potential high above us. If crude oil starts moving to the upside, then that might cap the S&P, and the S&P might sell off toward the end of the day. So I think people should look at crude oil as more the steering wheel or the mover and the shaker that might tell us where the S&P is going today.
What is it about 23 that you like?
Well, let me go to my notes. I have something. Let me see. Let me go to my notes here. Sorry about that.
Well, on this hourly chart, I can see here where...
Yeah, that's it. It's, oh, you got a chart up? Let me go.
Yeah, on this hourly chart here, there was a pullback here to this 23. Then, I mean, it acted as support.
Yeah, I do like that. That's one thing. It's also a 6.8% retracement from the high to this, whatever, you know, yesterday's low.
Okay.
I'm looking at my chart, so... 1322 is a double bottom on Tuesday. I saw some value there. Also, maybe 20. So, I mean, if I had a sling a short out there, it would be closer to 22, 23. You know, looking at the chart on my work, or unless you know we start trading back under maybe 1308, then my work might go into a sell, and then I'd have to get a little bit more aggressive. So I'm kind of laying off the joystick with the on the sell side for the moment. But it's all going to depend on what this crazy crude does. So.
Alrighty, crazy crude.
Yeah, crazy crude. That's the new name for it, Crazy Crude.
It is crazy. It is definitely crazy.
That's about it.
All right. Well, let me shuffle off here and find our friend, Mr. Williams, to come in and...
Hey, Mike Reed's out there, too.
Oh, hey, Mike. Are you there?
Just got on here.
Hey, buddy. How are you? Man, I've been waiting for you to come in every day, and I'm so glad you made it. How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
Well, good, brother. Glad to hear that.
Wait, got some volatility back, which is good.
This week was like a party for you. You love a down market.
Yeah, it was. The first part of the week was really. They really cranked up the volatility too. They came down really hard, but they we had two spots. The first was the 1298 area, and that held 2 days ago, and then below that we had the 1293 to 1292 zone, and yesterday's low was right in the middle, right 1292.5. Wish I said I bought them down there, but that was where the shorts were covered. We had shorts on from quite a bit higher up. So, but we weren't buyers down there, unfortunately.
What are you looking at on the upside, Mike? On this
key? So far, they hit it so far. 1318. And... then if that's taken out, 1322 to 23 area, but it really stalled out up there.
Yeah.
And they pulled back to support, which is at 1312 area. That's what needs to turn this back down. It has to take out 1312 and then the 1308 area again, which 1308 is kind of a gap there. It was been in play before.
Yeah, this 1308 area was a critical area last night. It spent 1, 2, 3, 4, took 5 hours to finally break through that area, and then. It held on this pullback right here.
Uh-huh.
That's actually 0875, but that held and got us up to where we are at 17 today. So what I would like to see is some dynamic support print on this chart, and then I can envision along, maybe back up to that 24-25. Getting there on a Friday afternoon, I don't know. I suppose it could happen. like Bert said, we could catch a bid going into the close.
We had kind of rare 4 days in a row with the closing trend was above 1.00. Actually, when you get it 3 days in a row, it's a buy signal, and 4 days in a row, it's kind of rare. The VIX also gave 3 buy signals at yesterday's close.
So the VIX gave you 3 buy signals yesterday at the close.
Right.
But you weren't convinced.
Well,
well, I'm just asking. I'm just asking.
I was waiting. Yeah. I wanted to see how we opened today.
Yeah.
And I didn't, you know, didn't expect this gap up. But, you know, sometimes I miss them. Sometimes I don't trust them. But I did mention to some guys after the close and put it in the chat box this morning about this. But they had a gap and go and really no opportunity to get long, you know, a low-risk buying opportunity right off the bat. Excuse me.
Here's that gap right here.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to buy a gap up, you know. It's
I always have a hard time with that, too.
So I was waiting to see, you know, how we sell in after the first 30 minutes to an hour, and it's kind of set in my hands until they stalled out of resistance.
So we gapped it this morning, turned our sentiment bullish. It's been bearish ever since Sunday night. Monday. Gave us a little clue right here that something was afoot. But then we rallied into the close last Friday and opened substantially lower Sunday night. And then today, a shot at turning it around, but leaving this gap unfilled down here. I mean, if this market does climb into the close and opens higher Sunday night, don't forget this is sitting here. For whatever that's worth. Not you, Mike. I know you're aware of it because you just talked about it, but I'm just saying for the benefit of everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Mike, don't go anywhere. We're going to bring Mr. David Williams on, see what he has interesting and entertaining to say to us today. And I know he always likes to chat with you.
Good morning, Michael.
Hi, dude. How are you?
How are you? I'm doing good. How are you? Good morning, Dwayne.
Hey, good morning. David.
Good morning, Michael Bork.
Good morning, David.
And good morning, Bert.
Good morning, David.
How's everything? Boy, we have a lot to talk about today if you really want to get into it. But I would like to hear, before we get started and before you wind me up like you do, Dwayne, I'd like to hear a little bit more from Michael. Not Michael Bork. But Mike Reed. Michael Bork is already tired from talking for the several hours he's talked this morning. He needs a break.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Dwayne already gave me my scolding.
Oh.
He opened my... No, I had a number of things that gave buy signals yesterday. There were 4 days in a row where I... closing trend above 1.00 and had the VIX reversal give 3 buy signals and a couple other things, but I didn't, you know, buy yesterday at the close or anything. I was going to wait till this morning and when it gapped up. I wasn't going to buy a gap up, so I'm kind of sat around. And we did only one trade today, and that was a short off of the 13-17-18 zone. Excuse me. But that is about it. I guess I was kind of a bonehead by not being long. But.
Hey, I wasn't
man,
trying to...
Man, Dwayne.
You know, all I...
Up.
All I did was ask a question. I didn't
I'm
know.
I'm taking my ball and going home.
No.
Yeah, he's never going to come on again.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. To lighten the mood... David, I tried to get you to watch a video a couple years ago, and you kept giving me some lame excuse about, oh, well, you know, I had some Martinizing to do, and I'm really going to get around to that. And Mike Reed, I already forced everyone in the live training room this morning to watch it, but now I would like to force my other friends to watch it.
All right, I'm right here, and I'm excited to see it, and I apologize for not watching it, but I'll watch it right now. You've got my rapt attention.
Okay.
That's the Twilight Zone, Dwayne.
I don't know. I just really like that. So,
well, I'll tell you something. By the time they get around to making whole music videos based upon not using risk management and losing large sums of money and having a pretty woman complaining and singing a song about it, you got to know that it's probably not a good idea to trade without it. Ain't it the case?
In the future, Michael, in our training classes, when we cover risk management, we'll just put that video on and leave the room, and then when it's over, we'll come back and just say, any questions?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. I think that's the way to do it.
There's something Twilight Zone-ish, though, about pretty women and risk management and, you know, them singing about, losses and the guys digging into her credit cards. And it's a... pretty perverse little world we're dealing with there.
When she smashed all four screens with that Louisville slugger.
Yeah.
That really spoke volumes to me.
Well, we've all been there, and everybody should know, all the listeners should know, that everybody, I mean, if I may speak for everybody, we've all done really stupid things, and we've all lost stupid amounts of money, and we've all done it over and over again.
And
we finally, hopefully, all learned that's really not the best way to do things.
And there's people in the audience going, God, I hope my wife doesn't see that video.
Yeah, that's
she's
going to
start asking questions.
That would not be good. You know, most husbands, you know, we all deal, you deal with, we deal with, like 98% of the people that we deal with are men. We have a small number of people in our group that are women traders,
Same here.
The majority of them are men.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've noticed this before, but the fastest way to turn off any girl is to tell them that you trade in the markets, that you're investing in the markets, that you buy stocks, that you trade in Forex, that you buy futures contracts. You're better off telling them that you just got out of jail. That's a much better turn on than thinking that they're going to get excited by you telling them that you're in some sophisticated, you know.
They would rather hear that you own a chain of one-hour Martinizing stores.
I think they would. Yeah. I think that's hot. Now that pushes some buttons.
Now you know they have a job.
Yeah, they know you have a job. There you are. You know, Michael knows. He knows the value of a woman knowing you have a job. You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's. But then when they say, "What do you do?" Like, "What is your job?" A really good turn on for a woman is for you to come back and say, "I start next week." That's how you answer that.
Yeah. Or you could always fall back on the "I'm between gigs."
Yeah, I'm between gigs right now, but I've got a bunch of people interested in me. You know,
I'm looking over some offers.
Yeah, no, the offers are coming in, but I haven't had the time to go over all of them. But you know,
yeah, that's throughout the best one.
Yeah. The things you should never say to women, by CFRN.
So, David,
anyway.
I got to ask, right here yesterday, right here, okay, you were bullish. I don't remember if you came right out and said you're going to buy the market here or if Messenger Pro bought the market. But
we bought the market.
Okay, I would say that this is one of those, because you're always bringing up, you know, the market gets tricky.
Yes.
And now this is an hourly chart, so for those of you that saw this unfold in a different time frame, it's going to look different, of course, but...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this thing came down here, and this was candle opened here. So at one point, it was just a big red candle. It looked like the bottom was literally going to fall out of the market.
Mm-hmm.
It tested this area here. It's 1290-275, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went on to do all of this, which is the very thing that you talked about. So my question to you is, did this portion right here... Was that tricky enough to stop you out?
Well, the we actually had a roadmap yesterday.
Okay.
And the roadmap, I just want to point this out. This is an interesting thing. We had a roadmap for that hour, the hour that you're talking about, for the market to advance 13 points off the then current low. So in other words, if we closed above 97, then we would advance 13 points off of that low. So if you take, you know, the 92, whatever the low was, that brings us up to 05. And what is that? That's, I'm sorry, let me put the numbers in them.
This was 92.75 was the low.
Yeah.
And
so that would have brought us up to 13.05. Is that correct? Yeah.
Yeah.
And they did that. They ran up the full 13 points. And if you double that, you'll find that's exactly our top today. So in other words, we're up 26 points off of that bottom here. We did the 13.18. Now, in support and resistance today, for us anyway, we have 13.17 as a target on the upside. The highest price for today in the panel is at 13.21/22, and that's just below, or you know, a few points below a number that's important on your weekly stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a roadmap underway now, but in answering you. That bar, once it closed back above, we did have a successful trade off of that bar prior to it going down. And then our aggressive long position got stopped out at a break even. And then when they closed the bar up, we went long again.
Okay.
I don't have all the trades in front of us,
sure.
But for the purpose of completing the full 1305 target, and we messaged to our users that 1305 would be the upside target for that. Yesterday. Now, all of this, though, this is important for people who are interested in reflected wave, because yesterday's bottom was a reflected wave bottom inside the daily reflected wave bottom that was due on February 23rd. As you know, we've talked for a week now a little more than a week about the importance of February 23rd in all these markets, and we'll go over those if you'd like today. And you can see that February 23rd marked an extremely important bottom or top in all of these markets. And so that's why we were jumping up and down about February 23rd, is because it was occurring across a bunch of markets. Now, I just gave you a really important, if I may say so, a really important insight into how to know when these dates are going to be very important, is that you do the homework and find them in other markets as well. So if you find a number of other markets coinciding with the same date, if you're doing cycle work or whatever the name of it is for you, where you're finding turning points, when the markets cluster a bunch of different markets that are not necessarily related to each other with the same turning points, that's going to be a very, very big move. And we had, obviously, in the S&P, we had a huge move down into the February 23rd bottom. That's a reflected wave bottom. That's what we're going to show you, how we knew that in advance at the seminar. And this was, it's a beautiful amount of money, it's a beautiful amount of money. It's a beautiful move up that anybody could have if they wanted to trade it off of. And you and I have spoken about this on the program, how important it is when you get to the one day late.
I always thought Andrew Jackson was a very handsome man.
He is very handsome, and it seems like I want a lot of his pictures, right? I mean, don't you just think having more than one picture of him would be good? Anyway.
Ben Franklin's not too shabby either.
Ben is not bad. Ben is not a bad guy. Anyway, so the point is that we reached the one day late, and I've talked about this on the program, how important the one day late is, because once you get to the one day late, the odds, the percentages, the whatever you want to call it, go strongly in your favor that you should take any buy signal you can get, because we were at February 24th, which is one day late, and zoom, the market popped up. So they haven't done everything we're expecting of them, but we're looking, of course, for the usual multi-day advance and the market going to potentially substantially higher prices. And we have a roadmap for this morning that one half of it has already been completed, which was that if the market firmed up at 1311 to 1312, I don't have it right in front of me, that the first move up would be an initial 5-point advance. So that takes us up to 17. You can see the swing high right here has been 1675. That's the initial one. Then we would get a reaction off of that, and then an additional 5-point advance. So this is something that's important that people could trade off of if they want to today for a little bit later. When, you know, if you get a buy signal inside, it's like buying a pullback in an existing uptrend, that sort of thing, it would be very good. There's money in these markets. There's plenty of money if you'll wait for the setups and if you will get whatever piece you can out of them. You don't have to get the whole thing. And I really like to stress to people that it's the chasing, it's the act of trying to get the edge on your edge that actually undoes a lot of pro traders. It also, because they have an edge, but people, new traders, don't really necessarily have an edge yet. They may be taught an edge, but they may not have internalized it and really made it their own, which is then you can say you have an edge. But it's taken a lot of pro traders out. The fact that they don't like the idea that, hey, the market was down here, you know, I got 6 points out of this move, but it really moved 16 points and I left 10 points on the table. Well, from me to them, it's you're only good enough right now to get the 6 points. And don't try to get an edge on your edge. Try to improve your skill set rather than trying to take a more aggressive position and get in earlier than your edge indicates. That's what getting an edge on your edge means. You're getting in earlier than you know you should, because you just hate having those points go by and only getting 6 of them when they gave you 16. But I love facts, because facts can be relied on. And if the fact is that you're good enough to get 6 out of the 16, that's a really good place to be. And many people destroy that because to them that's not a good place to be. They should be getting the full 16 or 15 or 14 of those, and they feel like a schmo because they only got 6 out of the 10, but they don't understand how many years it takes somebody to get to the point where you can get 6 out of the 16 on a relatively consistent basis. I'm just throwing these numbers around, but let's just say that's what they are. So a lot of people end up destroying their already existing goodness, so to speak, in the market, their skill set, by trying to get an edge on their edge. And so I was bringing that up. I had some bigger point, but the bottom line is that's a big enough point all by itself, is that you want to be very careful not to destroy the gains that you've made in the market, the gains meaning your skill set, where you are now in the market, by criticizing yourself and whipping yourself over the fact that you missed things. But people do this. This is a really big thing that traders do, because we're all still in junior high school, and, you know, it's my, you know, I dress better than you, I look better than you, I trade better than you, you know, all these compulsions that we had that we were taught that we're supposed to be competitive, when in fact you should be enjoying the fact that you can do something that 98% of the people, or whatever the number really is, cannot do. If you are at the point where you can get 6 out of the 16, I should throw a party for you. That's how good that is. And you should build on that and not tear that down by being mad at yourself and trying to then do a wrong thing, which is to try to trade your existing edge, the thing that's helping you get that 6 points, super aggressively, so that you can say to yourself, ah, I got the 15 points out of the 16-point move or whatever. And then before you know it, you're taking numerous losses trying to get that extra bit, and before you know it, you've spent, you know, you've thrown away a lot of money, or all of the money that you gained, or whatever, some big chunk of money you've lost. No one can lose more than the United States Post Office does, but you could lose a lot of money. So, a little jab in there on the Post Office. I don't know why. I just thought that would be humorous. But since no one's laughing, we'll just move right along.
Oh, David.
What's that?
Everyone's laughing.
Oh, okay, that's good. I expect laughter out of this humor. I don't do it for nothing. No, anyway, so we basically... there you are. So having said that, I'm saying a lot of this because all of us... Dwayne?
Oh, Rob says I'm laughing on the inside.
Oh, okay. The reason I said that is I was at the post office the other day, and I was realizing there was very few people in line. They were very good. I went to the desk. The guy handled me very quickly. I was actually sending money to the IRS, to be honest with you, because I like to – this is another thing. I just want to tell you this. If you're like me, you were waiting to the end of the year to file your tax returns and then figure out what you owe. I mean, unless you have a regular job where they give you a paycheck and they've taken it out. But if you don't have a regular job and you're running a business, what I've been doing for many, many years is just waiting to the end of the year and then paying taxes. But then the number can be very difficult because it's a big number. You've waited the whole year.
Right.
And so this year I started by paying advance.
The estimated tax payments?
The estimated tax payments.
You know, I called in to make my estimated tax payment the other day, and you got to go through like a 20-minute recording of stuff. And
let me tell you how you do it. If you don't have to do any of that, you do is you just get. You can either just write it on a piece of paper and just say, "I'm sending in whatever it is." Let's just say it's $1,000, whatever the number is.
Uh-huh.
I'm sending in this money for my estimated quarterly return for 2011. Put your Social Security number on it. Put the check in there. That's all you need. They do have a form that you can print off of the internet, you know, off of their website that you can send in there as well. That's all you need to do. But it does help to do that, because then if you have – then you're basically doing what people who have paychecks do, which is it's taken out in advance and they don't have the big hit at the end of the year. Well, I've been taking that big hit at the end of the year forever, and I've decided 2011, you know, I'm done with that. And I'm just going to start sending money to them throughout the year, which is terrible, but it means at the end of the year you don't have to worry about it.
After I listen to the whole thing, which I do each time I make the quarterly payment – she goes, if you would like to make a quarterly tax payment for 2011, press 1. And so I pressed 1 or 2 or whatever it was. And then the recorded voice goes, we will begin accepting quarterly tax payments for 2011 in March. Click. And I'm like, what? I was speechless. I'd been a good citizen. I listened to her drone on and on and on until I could finally press 1 to make my payment, and then I get like a 5-second blurb, we'll begin accepting those payments in March, and it hung up. Now, according to the paperwork from my accountant, I was supposed to make that payment January 18th. Oops. So I was a little glad to hear her say, we won't start accepting those payments until March, because that kind of got me out of trouble, I think. So, I don't know. Maybe the payment. It doesn't make sense though that on January 18th I would have been making an estimate. Oh, maybe I was. Maybe that was for the fourth quarter of 2010. Maybe I better call back and press another button.
Press those buttons.
Press them.
Right. Anyway, my point was that I was at the post office and I saw that there was very few people in line and that there wasn't a lot of business there and the people were very efficient. They were doing their job. But you know what? It's a dying thing. I mean, you go in there and you realize they're going to be closing down a lot of post offices because email and many other internet functions are solving those issues. It'll still have a reason to have post offices because of physical packages, but it is interesting to see that they've already started closing a lot of them, and it doesn't matter what the government does. It's just impossible. You could give the government a item that costs 12 cents, and you could give them the right to go out and sell that for $5, and at the end of the year, they would have lost $50 million. Somehow, that's what the government does. It just cannot, under any conditions, make money except by accident. It's just the nature of bureaucracy. I'd like to develop a little device called a bureaucracy meter, and when you walk into a building, that meter somehow detects whether or not there's a bureaucracy there, and it just, you know, pegs in the red zone whenever you're in a bureaucracy, and that's when you know to turn around and run, because anytime there's a bureaucracy, whatever you give them will vanish, because that's what bureaucracies does. But it doesn't matter what, you can give the government something for free and say you can sell it for anything you want. Maybe they sell it for $10, they bought it for free, they'll lose $50 million in the first quarter. That's how the government works.
I was standing in line at the post office the other day, and this is a true story. There's a guy painting a wall, which that in and of itself is not that unusual. But he had two associates who were standing there watching him paint the wall.
You're right.
So here's
well,
three,
there, say no
here's
more.
Three
there
guys,
is. That's all
one,
you have to
one
say.
Paintbrush, one paint. And the lady in front of me, she turns to me and she goes, "Do you see that?" I go,
"Yeah."
I said, "Yeah, I see it." She goes,
"All right,
what's wrong with that picture?" I go, I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, regular folks, it just doesn't seem to make
okay,
sense.
Now, but, okay, now, there's only one clerk working the window at the post office.
But there's three
there's
people
like
painting the wall.
There's like 50 people in line waiting to see this one clerk. But there's three people over there painting the wall. So
I know. Don't get me started on it. I'd rather talk about Marcus today.
All right.
Okay, so the S&P, we've confirmed the bottom, the forecast bottom. For those of you who are coming to the Reflected Wave seminar, you'll learn in the first 30 minutes exactly why February 23rd needed to mark a bottom. It probably did come the one day late because of the holiday, even though Reflected Wave really does take care of all of that automatically. It just did. It came one day late. But you'll know exactly why that date was important and why it was marked as a bottom and on and on and on. So that'll be very important for you to, if you're excited about, you know, potentially doing it or if you've already signed up, you'll learn. That'll be in one of your proof charts that we have. We're going to have 100 proof charts that show you exactly how it works and on and on and on. And that'll be one of them. Now, if we can, Dwayne, I'd like to switch over to a couple of the other markets that I
only follow. One of the listeners wants to know if there will be drug testing.
Actually, that's funny he's saying that. There'll be everything but drug testing, but thanks for asking. There's going to be just a quick sort of a flash urine test just before the people get seated. No actual drug test.
Okay.
But, you know, it is funny to have to go through that, but in this internet age, people behind their computers will do things that they might normally not do, and we're trying to protect ourselves from that as best as we can. And I am going to individually speak to each and every one of the people that are coming to this. I told you that when we originally said we were going to do this, I was going to talk to people about their trading skills, et cetera. And I'm also going to talk to them about just the privacy issue of this, that, and what they're agreeing to, et cetera, et cetera. And to not, you know, and if they are uncomfortable with that, then that's fine. They don't have to come. But the only reason why a person would be uncomfortable is if he feels that he needs to, you know, give it to somebody else. But, you know, you individually are licensing it and using it. You should use it for your own trading and rather than do something nefarious with it, you know.
Right.
But people do that. People just, that's sure. Just not everybody. Most people are pretty good. But there are people that just feel the need to do that. And so because those are there and because we're dealing with the public, we have to go through some of that, some of those procedures or whatever you want to call them. Now, let me get into a couple other quick markets here because I don't know how much time you have, but I've got all the time in the world, by the way. We talked about the 6E yesterday. This is the euro. This is Michael's market, if I may say so. And I was telling you that the 6E had a turning point top due today. And that the other day, the day before yesterday, we talked about the 6E needed to get up to 138.05, and then they needed to not close above that. And so yesterday they closed at 137.98. That's below that number. And then today they spiked up a little higher, but they have moved down. So under normal conditions, this euro would go down and test or attempt 136.25. Now, today's low is 137.21. I don't know what this thing pays per tick or per anything.
1250.
1250. So there still is room to sell rallies for a further decline in the March 6E. So if I'm saying it wrong, let me know. That's the Euro FX.
Yeah.
So the turning point has occurred today. Let me double check and see if this.
Mike Reed's taking off. Have a great weekend, Mike. Oh. And Michael Bork's taking off. Have a great weekend.
Oh, well, there you go. All right, you guys. It's great to have you at the party. You know, just sorry you have to leave like normal. No, just joking. No, I hope you guys have a great weekend. Well,
thanks, David.
There are,
take care.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
Goodbye.
All right,
good
Mike.
Weekend, guys.
You too, buddy.
Bye, Bert. Michael, take care.
All right, they're out of there.
Okay, so you're saying
so the
60, that here
you can trade down to 136.25 or at or near 136.25 would be the natural initial downside target on this based on the move, the top that we talked about for February 28th yesterday.
Okay.
25th. I'm sorry, the top on February 25th. I'm sorry, not 28th, but
today's the 25th.
Yeah, today's the 25th. That, okay. There was a top due today. And the decline, and I gave this information to Bert as well, the decline would normally get down to test or attempt 136.25. We're not experts in the euro, so this is something that, you know, you can trade it as you best see fit, but it's something that you guys track, and it would be probably a good idea for you to at least take a look and see if this is something that you want to trade it. Now,
interestingly enough, and we've talked about this a lot, that your method and our method completely different, but your turning point happened to fall right in line with a weekly trading zone of ours at 13820/25, which is up on the screen, and it pulled back so far to the next zone down, which is 755/60. And now, what was the other number that you just that trade two number that you had?
Oh, the 136.25 is the natural initial downside target from 138.05. So the idea that I expressed yesterday was that if a person wanted to, he could short the market upon a daily close below 138.05. We didn't give the downside target, and I mentioned I had not worked it out, but for now, so that they know, 136.25, which is about a point and a half or so below where we are, which I guess that's pretty good, would be the next downside target. This, you know, you may have to hold on the overnight. You have to trade. And additionally, for those of you who are reflected wave people, we're putting in a reflected wave top right now on the shorter term charts.
We're at 13757.
Right.
Minus,
this is a
what
top.
What was your
that
number?
If you want to sell
13625. 13625. So that's 132 ticks or pips,
right?
Times 1250. That's $1,650 per contract.
Right. Just put $50 in an envelope and send it to. No, I'm just joking.
Send it to David at 1 Hour Martinizing.
Right. David at 1 Hour Martinizing. This is, we're new to this market, so I want people to take extra care with it. But I do want you to know that we're putting in a top right now. If you're going to short it, just use a S T S T order. That's a sell the silly thing right now. That's me telling you to sell it right now. Sell the silly thing. Because we're putting in a reflected wave top right now, and if you can, you know, if you could sell it at roughly, you know, 137.60 or something, it's already starting to move down, it's 137.55, somewhere in here, because we have a reflected wave top, you will learn, this is, again, you would know this in advance if you come to the seminar and learn how to do this. But what we're doing is we're tying together the idea that lower prices in general would be expected, and we want to sell rallies. And this is one of the really, really, if I may say so, brilliant things about reflected wave, is it's really good at finding the exact bar, price bar, that a market is pulling back to in an existing trend as a counter trend move. So if the market's going down, it's really good at finding the exact price bar on the way up to sell the market for further decline. Let's step out of this and let's switch over to gold real quick. If and anybody has any questions about any of this stuff, you can just, I guess, type into to Dwayne like we normally do. But
hey, I know, before you jump off of Euro, a couple questions. What you're doing here with the Euro, is that part of what you're teaching at the seminar? Is that all reflected
yes.
wave stuff?
Okay. Yes, yes.
And then
the top that we mentioned on for yesterday, and the smaller time frame top, the intraday top that they're making right now, is all reflected wave.
And Rob wants to know, what kind of a stop would you be using? If you personally were going to get short here, where would you position your stop?
I never use a stop. I like to just put the stuff on.
Okay.
I might go out and get some clothes dry cleaned or something. I might check in with a broker at some point. If the thing moves against me really far, I'm pretty sure it's going to come back. That's pretty much how I trade it, just like that, Rob. So in case you have any other questions about that, it's, you know, that's my kind of trade. That's how I roll.
Okay, now could you answer it in your regular voice?
Sure. I would let the I'm being sarcastic, of course. For those of you who don't know me, that's sarcasm. We're in the 1 unit late right now for this 30-minute period. And so after the 1 unit late period is done for this top, I would not want to see the market. In fact, give me just a moment here, because this, again, this is not my highest this is new to me, this market, but I would not want to see it go much above 137.67 in this period right now. So I would use
that
as a close buy.
That works out. That's a really nice little trade. If that, now you got me getting my pen and paper out. Let's see, 137.67. Because we're currently trading 56.
Yeah, 137.67.
So that's an 11. That's an 11 tick stop.
That's an 11-tick stop. That's correct. I don't know if that's considered bigger or smaller or whatever, but what we're doing here is we're using reflected wave to time the entry, and then by Rob's question, we're looking at, and again, I'm new to this market, but we're looking at the important price levels that we would not want to see the market at. Some of our forecasts, and some of you who've been listening for a long time, know that we will say something like, if the market does not touch such and such number, then it's going to go way down and do this number. And in a sense, we're saying that here, that we don't want to see it touch that number in this 30-minute period that we're in right now. And then that will at least be a start for this trade. And again, please, I want everybody to know that I'm new to this market. The top apparently was correct. We've had a nice move down, and under normal conditions, we would see a little bit better decline than this, and so this is selling territory for further decline in that market. So, is that? I hope that answers the question. Well,
okay.
And I'd like to switch over to, if we can, just to gold, because this has a couple other things that we've been talking about for a number of days. For quite some time, for maybe a week and a half or more, I've talked to you about gold and the importance of February 23rd, and then we bumped that out a couple days ago to February 24th because of the holiday. This is not a reflected wave top. This is not. This is a spatial relationship top that we put in. And so it's different for Lynn, who's asked the question about whether or not these are calendar days or trading days. This is a, it's kind of a hybrid, to be honest with you. I don't know how else to put it just for right now. But it ties in with all the other February 23rds that we've talked about coming up. So take a look at this now. We have February 24th for this because of the holiday. We bumped it out by one day a couple days ago. And on February 24th, the market has made a top. And the natural downside target, this can be sold as well, is $13.97 in April gold. At least a test or an attempt at $13.97 is the initial place that you would want to. And I mentioned yesterday on your program, Dwayne, that if a person wanted to be aggressive, he could sell it right then and there. Remember we talked about it. Because of the position that the market was in and the fact that February 24th had occurred. And agreeing, I mean, understandably, that this is an aggressive, that was an aggressive entry. But the aggressive did pay off. If a person did that, they're up whatever the move down has been so far, from 1415 all the way down to 1402. That's a $1,300 move. And earlier today, I mentioned to Bert that when the market had swung up, if you put a 15-minute chart of April gold up, you'll see it swung up earlier today to 1412. I messaged Bert right then and there, based on reflected wave, that similar to the 6E rallying up and giving you a great sell, look what happened on a 15-minute chart. Go take a look at what happened after the market swung up.
This is 15 minutes on gold right here.
Yeah, just about at 9:50 Chicago time, it swung up. I messaged Bert, if you're going to sell gold, sell it right here. That's what I told him. Bert, didn't I tell that to you? Are you there? See, what did I tell you? That's what I told him. Anyway, I have a little private messenger thing that I can send Bert a message directly. Anyway, had he sold it there where I told him to, which is at the time roughly around 1410, let's just say, at the time that I told him to, it swung down immediately down to 1403. There was at least $500 in that swing down, and the market still is in a downtrend, and the gold market under
had it already spiked 1412?
I'm sorry?
Did you embrace this 2 points of risk when it ran up to 1412, or did that come in? Did the 1410 sell come in after the run to 1412?
It was already done with 1412, but it was in the same price bar that 1412 occurred in.
Okay, gotcha.
So that's what I'm saying. That let's be fair and say maybe he could get in at 1410 or something. But
okay.
If he was on, he'll
gotcha.
Tell you about that.
Yeah.
He may have taken the trade. I don't know. But there was a nice $500 move down, and that's reflected wave for those of you interested in it. Now, it's not designed for gold and for currencies and these other things. But if you understand the conditions that it's optimum in, you can find those conditions in other markets and then just use it exactly as it's taught to you in those other markets. And that's why on Sunday in the seminar I'm going to go over some of that, how you can apply it to other markets, even though officially it's really for the S&P and the stocks that make it up. But it does work beautifully under these conditions when a market is trending. And you want to buy a pullback or sell a pullback in a trend, it'll identify the exact price bar that the market's going to top out on and then turn it down, like we just did in the 6E and what we did today with the gold here. So for those of you interested in continuing on the downside for gold, 1397 has to be your first, and that's $1,000 down from where we are, at or near. If I was trading it, I'd probably be grabbing something at 1399 just to be sure, but lower prices would be indicated off of the February 24th forecast top. So we've covered the 6E, we've covered the gold. Now I just need to cover my IRS bill. No, I'm just joking. Let me go on to the next thing here. Crude, I don't have anything on crude right now, so we'll try to work something out. I know you guys trade in that. Take a look if there's anything else here. If the S&P is real quiet, we had that hourly roadmap I talked about earlier. We did the FX. We did the gold. I hope somebody got it. Maybe some of your listeners did an aggressive gold thing yesterday. I don't know. But that's a spatial relationship type of setup in gold for what would eventually really turn out to be like a roadmap type of trade, like what we give out on the S&P. Trying to think if there's anything else here. I think that's about it for today in terms of the various markets. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Hold your horses. There is one other market,
soybeans.
And that's soybeans. And what have I been telling you about soybeans for the last, whatever it's been, week or so, that soybeans was going to put in a very important turn on what day, Dwayne? February 23rd. And
that is correct.
It put in a bottom, and it moved up a whole dollar today. I said there was going to be an explosive move on soybeans off of that turning point. And I messaged Bert again. This is not, we have a soybean product, which we've told our soybean people, but that if they took out 136, well, excuse me, if they took out, 136 today, that they would run up to to 1336, thank you, they would run up to 1350 first. If you put up a one-minute chart, you'll see they went right up to 1350 this morning, a reaction, and then from there all the way up to 68. And they did that. Now, they went a whole lot further than 68 today. They went all the way up to 99. But at least that was your target for trading soybeans, which would
have
been a beautiful...
Now, what do you show as the current price on beans?
I'm showing 1378.
Okay. All right. And so yeah, we're on the cage contract. Okay.
Right. So this is a great example of knowing that volatility is going to be big, like I said, because these turns were all going to occur in different markets. And that's a secret. Take advantage of that. That's a freebie. You use your turning point methodology on many different markets and find that a lot of these markets have the same date, and you can expect a very big move and trade to further than normal targets than you normally would. Most people would not know that information without somebody having told them that. But once you hear it, it's quite intuitive. It seems to make sense. But that is the fact. And that's one of the reasons why we called for big moves in these markets, including gold, soybeans, to occur on turnaround on February 24th for gold, February 23rd for soybeans, February 23rd for the S&P. And we have higher prices coming in the S&P as well. But the soybeans is beautiful. Remember, you might not think the soybeans is a sexy market or whatever you consider markets to be, but it is one of the fastest moving markets when they get down to business, and they do that quite often. Today they moved a full 100 cents. So I want you to understand that almost 100 cents.
Not quite. It went from 13.23 up to, call it $14. So
okay.
It was we'll give it 75 cents.
Okay, so that's the equivalent, for those of you who like the S&P, that's the equivalent of the S&P moving $75 in a day.
75 points.
Because the S&P pays 75 points. But the S&P is calculated in dollars, and we've gone through that
sure.
before. You can call it either one.
Mm-hmm.
The simple fact is that there ain't too many markets that move that wide and that far in a single day. 75 points in a single day on the S&P, it's in the headlines of all the news. You know, but it happens today in soybeans, and you know, it'll just be, nobody will know. So it's, and you get paid the same amount, $50 per
unless point. You're a farmer or listen to this radio program, you'd never know it happened.
You'd never know it happened, that's right. So anyway, it's...
let's see. Ray wants to know, what would your stop be on that soybean trade? And I don't know that you put out a roadmap. Did you call this? I know you had talked about price going higher and there being a turn.
Well,
did you actually have a roadmap
move,
on?
A big move. We had forecast, just for people to know, and I'll answer. Was it Ray that asked this question?
Mm-hmm. It was.
Okay, give me a minute here. I'm.
I could tell Ray what I did.
What'd you
okay,
do?
Go ahead, Bert.
Because, David, you and I talked about this. Well, let me pull up my entry here. The day was, I think it was the 23rd was the turning point. David had said, hey, a close at or above, I think 1332 was going to be the initial wave and the qualifier for an advance to 64 or 68.
Yeah.
And then he had said that 32 or 34, then we would get a pullback. And then we should eventually go up into the 64 number. So, Ray, go ahead and do this, Ray. Take your daily chart. Just pull up a daily soybeans in May. All right? Now, two things should stick out to you. On the daily, the low on the 22nd, the low was 1311. And also at 1311, there was a 100-day... 100-day moving average at 1311. It was an exponential moving average. Also, that close on the 23rd was somewhat of a, I call it a bullish hook reversal, where we have a lower low, and then we had a decent close. But then go ahead and take that same chart and cut it down into an hourly chart. And if you look at the framework there, and I emailed this out to a few guys that are probably listening now. We were looking at, we bought it at 1315. The 1310 was pretty much your buy zone. And what I did is I put the stop at 1295 and put it under that 1296 low that was posted on the 23rd. And then that was it. Now, I had bought, to be honest with you, I had bought the May mini soybean, which is 10 bucks a point. All right? So I bought it at 1315, and my stop was 1295. So my total risk on one contract was 200 bucks. All right? I could live with that $200 risk to see if David was right. Okay? And I took it off today at 1350 because, you know, after talking to David, he said maybe initially 50, but, you know, I was happy with it just to see the result. So what you do is just look at your dailies, look at your hourlies, and break the chart down. That will usually give you an entry point, and then a question will be, well, you know, can you or will you be willing to, you know, accept that risk? The other thing to consider, too, is that the soybean messenger that David has, throughout the day, yesterday, we were buying dips. We were buying 1315s to 1314s on two occasions yesterday. So David
right.
actually was telling you to go long between 15 and 14, and Dwayne and I, that's what you and I were doing with the soybean
right.
messenger. So,
well, and Bert, you and I talked about the after the 23rd that we would just buy every pullback. Remember
yeah.
the other few days ago we were saying we just want to, you know, there should be a reversal off of the initial move should go up to 32,
right.
and it did. It went up to 36, but then there should be a reversal, and there was. They had a nice strong reversal down, and from that point forward, it's just a buy for a multi-day advance or a big move off of the February 23rd bottom. Not all trades are that easy
no.
because it was an easy read because of the date, but this is why, again, knowing the time portion, you can really put together some killer trades, and I mean killer trades, by understanding the time portion of the market and knowing that that timing can turn the trend, and you're setting yourself into that trend on normal little pullbacks that to others might look like little pullbacks that don't really mean much, that maybe the market, yes, maybe no, but you know that there's going to be a high probability of a very powerful move in a particular direction, very much like we had, again, spread across a number of different markets based on that date. So it worked out very well. And
a lot of gold, too.
That's why I go to the post office to pay the tax in advance, because it's just that good. I've been telling you. That's
staggering.
Did you tell them about the euro currency? Did you go over that?
I did go over the euro currency with them, and I want to remind people that I'm new to that. But having said that, that the euro currency, I even told them that we're at a reflected wave top in the euro currency and to sell it right now. Just like I told you this morning in gold, to sell it when it was up at
I think I must not have enough euros in my account because it rejected my order.
No. What do you mean? It rejected it?
Yeah, it said I didn't have enough euros.
Here's what I did. Here,
said,
everyone,
you're out of your mind.
I have an order in. Here's what I have working on. I have it working in the euro. So, everyone, you can do this. It's up to you.
Let me pop
Depends
up the euro
balance.
Chart. Okay, here's the euro chart.
All right, so here's what I have. I have an order in to sell one mini at 137.69. I have an order in to sell another one at 137.89, and I have a stop in right now at 138.40 on both contracts.
Okay. Well, David
and
said
now,
we should sell the silly thing at 137.60. That was his
advice. Or right around there, wherever you can. I mean, I don't know if they're even going to give you that price again, because when we were talking, they were 5 cents below that. But it's kind of a sell the silly thing setup as far as I'm concerned. We should see lower prices in the end. The S&P wants to go higher based on the roadmap. This market should go lower and sell off. And it is selling off, actually, from the point that we mentioned earlier. This is already looking now. It didn't look like then, did it? It didn't look like a top, and now it does. And that's reflected wave. It puts you into the market on a timing basis long before many types of indicators would tell you to go short. And one of the things you'll have to learn if you are a person using that technique is to be able to short or go long before anything's telling you to do so. And it actually is not that easy to do. It looks really good on the charts after the fact, but you have to learn. It's one of the skills you have to learn to be able to say, okay, the time portion has run out, the cycle has run, and we need to go short here, even though the market looks really strong on lagging and other types of indicators. You have to, if you really want to take good advantage of it, you actually take advantage of it on a time basis rather than on a stop, on a price basis so much, on the movement of price. There's nothing wrong with getting in on movement and prices. More confirmation is my style. I like more confirmation. But the real advantage of reflected wave is that it can get you in much, much earlier than it can tell you definitively that something is going to turn, A and B. It'll get you in much, much earlier than an indicator might do. And I'm not referring to any particular indicator. I'm just saying in general a lagging type of indicator. They can get you in with more confirmation, but you know, it's up to you how you want to trade. I prefer more confirmation. I could live with trading indicators, but one of the ways that I use reflected wave is to know something. I mean, what do you really know? And I want to know something. I want to have that kind of firm knowledge. I want to know that February 23rd is a bottom. I want to know February 24th, you know, is a top in gold. I want to have that knowledge so that I can act and take my indicators or take other reflected wave indications like pullbacks in a downtrend or pullbacks in an uptrend and buy with confidence, because confidence is necessary in this. Even if it's a nervous confidence, it's some confidence. You have to be able to have that confidence in order to act. Otherwise, you never act, and then you'll never find yourself at a post office paying your quarterly taxes early. See? I don't know if that makes any sense to people.
It does. Hey, but something may have not factored into all this, and whether it matters or not, I don't know. This is the euro. This time of day, the euro tends to go quiet. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Bert, because I'm no expert in the euro either. You're still there, Bert?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, the euro typically this time of day kind of goes quiet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it generally will wake back up at the open of the Asian session a little bit, but then doesn't get really active until the London session opens, correct?
Correct.
Now, but today's Friday.
Correct.
So, based on previous Fridays, would you expect to see much movement between now and the close?
Chances not. Probably, we're just going to float around here.
So, then the bulk of this move that David's talking about will, because this ties into one of the questions that was just asked by Rob, so this will probably...
I forgot to answer Rob's question, too, and I apologize, Rob.
This was a new question, but we'll get to the other question. Yeah. So then what we would expect is that the bulk of this move would unfold Sunday night, Monday morning?
Yeah, you'll have to hold it overnight, without a doubt.
All right, and that changes the margin scenario, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, I just want everybody to be aware of that. You get into the trade now, then all of a sudden the market's closed, you get a call from the trading desk that you're faced with a margin call because your intraday margins don't support this thing overnight or over the weekend.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the margin requirement for the big one's about $4,000. The margin requirement for the mini is about $2,000 or $2,500, or it's about half the initial. So, I mean, obviously you're going to have the margin requirement to do it. If you don't have the margin requirement, then what David would tell you is, okay, wait until Sunday night. Maybe wait until the market volatility picks up, but you should be selling into this as long as we stay or trade under 138.15 or 138.05.
Right.
I'm electing if it rallies a little bit, and ironically, I am using the CFR indicators and Dwayne's green line there as one of the entry points. And I'm using a little bit higher point, that old an old support level at 137.90, as two entry points.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually putting two and two together here, and I'm going to see if it sticks.
Yeah, no, both things work well together. We've seen a number of times where both the indicators and things that we're talking about from PageTrader are coincident or close enough to be coincident to have meaning, that because they are both generated in different forms. They don't always coincide, and our work is a little more leaning on the predictive side rather than on the current action side. But predictive is only good if the predictions are good. Obviously, you know, you have to, you know, people go, oh, my work's predictive. Well, that's great. You know, if it doesn't predict very well, it's predictive, but it doesn't work. And the same thing's true with other types of work as well. It has to have some value. I think both of our work has some value in the markets, and they're both different, and therefore they're not correlated. And when they both come up with similar indications, it can be a very powerful indication all by itself that there's a long or a short or something happening. What I want to say about the euro real quick here is that they're taking him down. Had you taken the indication earlier, just a few minutes ago when we said sell the silly thing or whatever, we're up about five ticks, whatever that is, and you could book a little bit of a tiny little bit of a gain and protect part of your position. That's something that I do a lot in my trading, and protect the remainder of your position with some initial gain, because they're selling them off here a little bit.
$62.50 per contract.
There you go.
And, it's a function of math.
You know, just to book something and just to get something in the bank, so to speak, and then go from there. One thing is for sure, though, and Rob had asked a question I want to repeat. I want to just answer his question. I don't know what market he was talking about, but when you're trading in the foreign currencies, because they do trade 24 hours and a lot can really happen on the overnight, much more probably than on the Globex, if you don't use a stop, then euro going to lose a lot of money. A little humor there.
You like said that yesterday. That's getting old.
I know. I'm going to do it until the end of the week. Tip your waitress.
What was that downside number? 137.67.
No. The target is
625.
Yeah,
we have to. It would actually mean they have to break below where we are now and make lower lows. And again, I do want. Listen, you know, this is my first foray into the Forex. I did that yesterday too. You know, just based on everything, it normally we would see that move down to one or at or near 136.25. So, or is that right? Yeah, 136.25. This is basis the March euro. What we're doing is we're going to these different markets and trying to determine if we can apply our work, which it can be. You just have to experiment with it to find certain factors. And once those are found, then we begin making calls and forecasts and things like that. I'm pretty sure we have it right on gold. I'm positive we have it right on soybeans. We have a product for that. And I'm not 100% sure right now that we have it correct on the euro, but we do have initial confirmation with today's top coming in. We talked about a top due today. They did close below 138.05, which is what we said that they should do if they're going to go lower. They closed yesterday at 137.98, and today they are going lower. So and they are reacting to reflected wave on that top that we just were talking about selling it. So, you know, we're getting some hints that it's proper here, but if you are shorting it, hold on the overnight, and you definitely use a stop so that, you know.
Now, David, are you looking at this on a 24-hour session?
No, I'm not.
Okay, because that's going to – because, I mean, last night we ran up to 138.30.
Yeah, on the daily, overnight. Excuse me, 138.37. On the daily chart, I do see it on the overnight. That's okay, but you'll notice that they're closing. They were not going to close above 138.05 if the turn was going to occur, because in spatial relationship forecasting, the price has a relationship to time. And so in order for the market to confirm the time, they had to confirm the price as well. And that's one of the beauties of tying together the multidimensionality of the market, with one dimension confirming another. That type of behavior gives you great confidence that, you know, or whatever your confidence level is, it gives you good confidence because you're tying things together. So I encourage people, again, to think outside of the box and think about these things.
Okay, Bert, quick question for you from a new listener. I want to get to his question. Is it a good idea to sell options in the 6E?
Well, there you go. Let me play Bert for you, since Bert isn't there. Is it a good thing to sell options? Is that what he said, sell options?
Yeah, he's looking, as opposed to
collecting premium and holding on to it.
And he's applying to the 6E, to the euro.
Yeah, if you have a real price target and a real reason to believe that it's a good target and you can trade to it, you can use any option in any way you want. You could buy puts if you think it's going down. You could sell calls if you want to sell premium and if you think it's going down. The question for me is, yes, you can, but you better have a good forecast and or indication that the market's going lower or trending or whatever. Any of that stuff is usable. Bert would know better, though, how the options work in terms of how much price movement is required, what they call delta, which means how much movement does the thing, the euro, have to move in order for the options to move. And the way they measure that is that per dollar, as an example. So for every dollar the euro moves, how much does the option actually move? And they call that relationship delta. So you would want to get that information from Bert, but you definitely can use options to make a large amount of money in a short period of time if you have explosive moves like February 23rd type of timing points. You can make a lot of money in a short period of time with those types of moves. And we'll give those, and I'll be very happy to continue giving the dates, of course, on the program. I think it's valuable to give the date out and let people, because the truth of the matter is these dates are meaningless, and only by letting it known out in the public does it ever affect the market, because everybody doing it would make it happen. That's why we give the date out. No, I'm just joking and being sarcastic.
The new people never know when you're... Okay, guys, when he's joking, you'll hear this sound.
Right. There you go. I'm just joking. Anyway, so the options are fine as long as you have something that you're depending on. Any instrument is fine as long as you have something that's, you know, workable, something that actually does work if you're going to be trading in a particular direction. So I don't know if that answers the question or not. And I do think it's important to find out what the delta is on these. You can adjust the delta, by the way, by buying options closer to where the market's trading. That increases your delta. That means it increases the amount the market the option changes. You can decrease your delta by buying options further away from the market. So delta is a factor that is changeable. It's adjustable by where your strike price is in relationship to where the market is. So I hope that's helpful as well. Options are really a great thing, and I suggest that people take a look at Lawrence McMillan's Options as a Strategic Investment. It's a book. It's literally the Bible, and Lawrence McMillan is a great guy, and he has his own company. It might be called, is it Option Line or Optionetics? You can look him up, Lawrence McMillan, on the Internet. It's not a pocket edition. There's no pocket editions of Options as a Strategic Investment. It's like, you know, it's really big.
No
cliff notes.
Okay.
But I started with that. I started with options in the markets, and from one of his strategies. That's where I read that book, and it's no small book. It's a big, big read. But he covers, and it's been reprinted like 11 times, you know, meaning that, you know, he's updated it and revised it and added new things. So if you want to, I recommend people getting to know his work, Lawrence McMillan.
He's one of your clients as well, correct?
I'm sorry?
He's a client of yours as well, correct?
He has on and off been a client of ours in soybeans for many, many years. Lawrence McMillan has been. And I'm not telling you that because he's a client and we don't have any financial arrangements with him.
Yeah.
He's the real deal. He is the real deal. So, you know, what he does is very different than what we're doing, but what he does very, very well. And so if you want to learn about options, you might want to go over there and take a look at his stuff. We don't have any financial connection to him at all. There's nothing there. It's just that he's the real deal. I actually met him for the first time about a year after he became a subscriber to our soybean stuff, and we had a really nice time. He's very humble. He doesn't hold himself in high esteem, and he's very easy to talk with. So, you know, if you have questions or you want to check Lawrence McMillan out, do that for options.
All right. And
so there you go. So, Dwayne, go ahead.
That's it for questions. If I missed anybody's question, I apologize.
I think Rob had a question that I'm not sure of even right now. If you want to go
check. If you type it in really quick, we'll get you in under the wire. Otherwise, I'm out of here. Okay, going once, going twice. Boy, Doc, you missed nothing. Doc says, did I hear David say he was having a seminar on Sunday? Doc, I heard that,
Sunday. I'm sorry.
About the
Sunday I'm referring to is the Sunday of the 27th. The Reflected Wave seminar is the 26th and the 27th. And on Sunday, we were going to talk about another subject regarding Reflected Wave, regarding price and some other things. So about how to use it in other markets, and you know, I've demonstrated it in other markets like the euro and like gold. But in order to do that, you have to know the conditions that would allow the reflective wave to work in that market. It's really not designed specifically for that market. And unlike many other indicators, it's not something that just works everywhere on all markets. It actually is taking a very important, two very important factors into consideration that are different in different markets. So, but it can be used, and that's how we made our gold call. That's how we made the reversal. Then when I told Bert this morning to sell short up at 1410, whatever it was, that's how we told you to get short in the euro, to sell it right a few minutes ago. That type of thing is using that principle to nail a turning point that is a reversal point in an existing trend. So if the market's going down, it advances, and then it stops and continues the decline. That turning point right there is what reflective wave is really good at catching. And so...
And that, Doc, is the answer to your question.
That's the answer to your question, and I would like to invite people, and they'll get out of here, Dwayne, because I know you have to go.
No.
Invite people.
Okay.
If you have an interest in reflected wave, you can go to masterforecastercourse.com and read about it and see if that's something that you would be interested in doing. There's very limited number of seats left right now, and if you have an interest, consider it and act upon it soon.
Okay, one last question. You're very welcome, Doc. And I'm glad you brought it up because it was hanging out there and I was going to attack it earlier and I forgot. Not attack it, but bring it up because I knew that some people would be going, oh, what, is there a webinar Sunday? How do you get phone calls and emails? Hey, I want to go to that webinar. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you brought this up earlier. Upside target for today, the S&P. You said, I believe, that your highest zone, your highest resistance level, what do you call them?
In Messenger Pro.
Yeah, your highest support and resistance, your highest number, whatever you said. Didn't you say it was 13, what, 18?
No, 1321.
21, okay.
Is the highest number, 1321 / $20.
That's right. That's
/
right.
22.
Okay.
1318 they had already completed. They reacted off of it, and then now we've moved higher. What they're doing right now is they're acting off of the roadmap that we had put out earlier today, which was that in today's third hour, it would mark a bottom at or near 13, 11, or 12. It would go up 5 points from there to 17, react, and then continue up for a total of 10 points. And they've completed the majority of that, but they haven't completed it fully yet. So that's what we're holding on for. Roadmap is a forecast for those people who don't know what it is. It's a kind of a special kind of forecast that we give out for specific market movement.
All right, guys, there you go. Reflect on that.
Reflect on that, that's right. And I hope you're all going to have a great weekend, Dwayne, and all of your listeners as well. And I think that's about it. I've done all my old material. Bert is even gone. You notice that when I get online, they all leave.
Yeah.
Everyone just goes, okay, nice to talk to you. I've got things to do. Bye, Mike. Bye, Bert.
David, have a very nice weekend.
Thank you. You too, all the listeners as well, and I plan on being right on with you on the Monday morning here.
Beautiful.
So I'm
going
to have a good weekend, and we'll put it all together then.
Okay, great.
Okay, thanks, Dane. Bye.
All right, guys, I'm going to go as well. Now, here's the deal. Last Friday, Bert closed the webinar on me. Okay, I promised I wouldn't bring that up again. Okay, so scratch that. I did a pretty nice monologue going into the close. I was really in the moment, just kind of feeling it. You know what? I'll be honest, I'm just tired today and somewhat distracted. And so if you'd like to hear a really good monologue, right now, then just go listen to last Friday's podcast. Just scroll right over to the end of it. Catch the last 5 minutes. You'll feel convicted. You'll become a better parent, a better father, a better husband. You'll be taller. People ask if you've been working out. I'm serious. 5 minutes, this is the end of that podcast. All right. Richard asks, already signed up for the reflective wave. Do we talk to Dave by phone before we attend? You know, what I would suggest... Richard, is go ahead and give him a call if you've not talked to him. If you got signed up, then you're good. But by calling him and introducing yourself and having a little chit-chat, then when you do go out and you guys meet for the first time face-to-face, then he'll be able to immediately, there'll be a connection. So, yeah, by all means, just go to his website and then call him up, and he'll be happy to chat with you. Okay. I recommend that to any of you guys that may have signed up, but you haven't actually spoken to David, because you're embarking on a relationship with the guy. So get to know him, you know. And then that'll help him, as he gets to know you, then he'll know where you're at on the trading journey. And when you go out to meet with him in Vegas, he'll be able to, you know, kind of address your specific needs wherever they might be. Because we're all at different places on the journey, on that mountain, that trading mountain. All right, if there's no other questions, I'm going to wrap this thing up. Okay, Chuck, I just got your email. No, David's doing a webinar, an internet webinar next Thursday with Bert from Daniel's Trading. Okay. The Sunday event we're talking about, that's part of the Master Forecaster course that David is teaching live in person in Las Vegas on March, I forget. It's a Saturday and Sunday in March. If you go to masterforecasterclass.com, I think it is. Or just call him. Just call David. He'll give you the dates and the Master Forecaster course. That's it. Masterforecastercourse.com. Dates, times, phone number, everything. So there is no internet webinar Sunday. David will be doing a webinar next Thursday, sponsored by Daniel's Trading. Daniel's Trading was very kind and sponsored one for us yesterday afternoon. And Bert, we appreciate that very much. We appreciate everything that you guys do for us. And for all of the CFRN partners, just so glad we met you. And I met you because of Richard Sanders, Sandman, guy who was tuned into this radio station the first day we broke the airwaves almost 6 years ago. Now, Richard, I don't think you're in the audience today, but brother, this one's for you. All right, guys, have a great weekend. Spend lots of quality time with your family. I will see you in church on Sunday, right? Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with his mercy and with his grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Pastor Dwayne Reeves, and his guests. This information should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed security broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.
Hey you, trader, why the sad face? Bad day in the market? Bad year in the market? If you're like many other traders I've met recently, you're about to give up, go broke, or both. They say the definition of insanity is when people continue doing the same thing and expect different results. Sound like you? You've invested a lot of time and money in this trading business, right? Well, before you give up or go broke, let's just take off the crazy hat for a moment, okay? Forget the schemes and scams that litter the internet. That 80% win ratio in his dreams and your nightmares. the 89 consecutive winning trades guy? Liar, liar, pants on fire. It really comes down to what actually works. At the end of the day, who can you really trust on your way to Wall Street? Here's a thought. What if you could spend day after day with seasoned traders and market analysts? What if you could cut through the theory and simply see real-time trades and strategies that work? Debunk the myths and learn the ropes. Cut the risks by avoiding simple mistakes. How much do you think that would be worth in the long run? If you could literally shave years off the learning curve and keep tens of thousands of dollars in your account for the actual purpose of trading, would that be of great value to you? Would that be the definition of doing something different? Right now, CFRN has a limited time offer. I want to invite you to spend a full week with the CFRN team. I want you to test drive our online platform and feel the power of our custom indicators for an entire week. I want you to witness real trades with real money in real time. I want you to see a humble, ethical, and proven trading system that's simple and, more importantly, that works. You can pass this off as just another sales pitch. You can risk tens of thousands of dollars and several years of your life in an attempt to prove me wrong. Or you can come hang out with us for just 1 week. No strings attached, no credit card required. All we require is a simple desire to learn. Stop the insanity today. Test drive our platform and indicators for 1 full week. Trade with us live for 1 full week. No strings attached, no credit card required. If I'm wrong, there'll be plenty of time to give up or go broke next week. So act today. This is a limited time sensitive offer. To get started, visit www.cfrn.net. That's www.cfrn.net. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. At ChristianTraders.com, that's exactly what you'll find. Men and women dedicated to building God's kingdom. Are you a fund manager in Frankfurt, a novice in Nebraska, or just starting in Singapore? Our staff and members firmly believe that money is only one part of the true meaning of biblical prosperity. At Christian Traders, it's not about building bigger barns. It's about using years of experience in the financial markets, along with our proprietary software and the inspired Word of God, to not just increase the value of your portfolio, but together develop a deeper personal relationship with God. You're invited to become a member of our rapidly growing international family today. Just visit ChristianTraders.com and click on Forum. Registration is absolutely free, and within minutes, you'll become a part of the most exciting new phenomena on the Internet. ChristianTraders.com. Prosperity for God's people. You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.